Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on our gospel reading from John chapter 20 and the theme, Who is it you are looking for? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the blessed day of Easter and the blessed news of the resurrection of your Son. Now we pray your blessing over us as we meditate on his word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who read the most recent edition of St. Mark's Matters would know that I grew up for a time in the Hampstead Lutheran Church manse, and that opposite this manse was a small reserve where we held our Easter dawn services and where the local Anzac Day dawn service was also held. In the middle of that reserve was a war memorial statue that my older brother had convinced my younger brother and I contained the actual bodies of fallen soldiers. So every opportunity we got, we would go searching for cracks and trying to peer through even the smallest ones to try and catch a glimpse of an arm or a leg, some evidence to either substantiate or repudiate his claims. It seems odd now, but it made perfect sense to me at the time. It seems a little morbid now, but at the time it roused our curiosity. I don't do it anymore, by the way. When Mary came to the tomb that first Easter morning, she came looking for death and expecting it. She came to mark Jesus' death, to acknowledge Jesus' death, and to honor Jesus' death. She came with her spices, and she came simply to be present there at the tomb. She did not come expecting to find it empty. When Peter and John came to the tomb that first Easter morning, even after hearing Mary's message and Jesus' numerous predictions that he would rise again, they still came looking for death and expecting to find it. They did not come expecting to have their deepest notions of life and death turned upside down. John, as we know, wins the race to the tomb against Peter, and we're told he bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but did not go in. Simon Peter, probably annoyed at losing the race, rushes right past him and enters the tomb first. Different people, different reactions, different ways of approaching death, but none of them expect to find what they found. No matter how many times it was told to them, no matter how many times it's told to us, death seems so final and hence so sad. It did then and it does now. Like Mary, John and Peter, we've been doing our fair share of looking at death recently. Looking at a virus, a sickness, a contagion. Looking at its impact on our world. Looking at the news articles concerning it and the media's reporting of it. Some of us have only peered at it through the cracks or around the corners. Some of us have been absorbed by it. Some of us have come into very close and personal contact with it indeed. We find it hard to look, but we find it hard to look away. Because sickness and death tap into some of our deepest fears and fragilities as human beings. Death scares us, as do the little deaths that we experience along the way. Losing control, losing freedom, losing work, losing income, losing loved ones, losing our routine, losing our standard of living, losing social contact, and so on and so forth. These experiences are very real and can leave us just as bewildered as Mary and John and Peter were standing tombside that first Easter morning. They had come to look at death, but they got more than they bargained for. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. And after Peter and John raced back home, we read that Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been. Throughout the Passion account and now at the tomb, Mary Magdalene is one of those who hangs in there with Jesus, who sticks it out, who keeps looking for answers. She's one who looks deeply into the events of these days. I'm reminded of one of my favorite lines from the original Lion King movie by Rafiki, the wise old baboon, who tells Simba that if he looks into the waters, he will see his father. And Simba is reluctant and then he's obstinate, but Rafiki encourages him, look harder, look harder. Mary looks harder. She looks more deeply. She looks longer, and she's met with a sight beyond her wildest imagination that she could have never dreamt up, never have thought was going to happen. Angels, the only mention of angels, I believe, in all of John's gospel. And then Jesus himself. Woman, why are you crying? They say. Woman, who is it you are looking for? He says. You see, Mary thought that she was coming to look at death. That's why she's crying. And then Mary thought that they'd taken away his body. That's why she's upset. Mary thinks she's alone. She thinks she's a long way from her master, a long way from her friends, a long way from everything familiar. Little did she know. And little do we recognize the Lord in our midst and the angels at our side. And our fellow Christians with whom we are united across time and space. We are never, ever alone. Jesus preaches what's been called the shortest sermon in the gospel when he turns to her and says, Mary. It's him. It's the one she was looking for. It's him. And he knows her by name. It's him, it's her Lord and friend, Jesus Christ. And her tears of sadness turn to tears of joy as she says, Teacher. She came looking for death, and she found life in her living Lord. There is a danger in looking too long and reflecting too much on death. As John Donne writes, one short sleep past, we wake eternally, and death shall be no more. Death shall die. As Christians, we are called to bundle up our fears about death and the fragilities and failings that plague us in life and to bring them to the foot of the cross and the empty tomb. There we find the victory of God over sin and death, including our own. There we find the miracle to end all miracles, the miracle of life. Mary hangs on to Jesus with all her might as if to say, I'm not letting you go this time. But Jesus says, no, do not hang on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Instead, go back to the others. Go back and tell them what you've seen and heard. Go back and affirm the miracle of life. Go back and proclaim the gift of life. Go back and live. Go back and stop looking at death despairingly and start looking at life differently through the lens of the resurrection of our Lord. We're told in Deuteronomy 30, I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children might live. The atoning death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. It has the power to overcome our greatest failings and undo our deepest fears and fill us with eternal joy. You know, I never did see any fallen soldiers in that war memorial. any dismembered body parts, thank God. I went looking for death, and all I found was a memorial, a reminder that death is real, that death hurts, but that there's more to life. The memorial was a sign of life given for others, a sign of sacrificial dying and selfless living. The memorial reminds us that where death once reigned, life is now lived. And friends, the empty tomb is just such a memorial and reminder for us. The late Canadian singer-songwriter Leonard Cohen puts it like this: "Ring the bells that still can ring, forget your perfect offering, there is a crack in everything, that's how the light gets in." Friends, do not spend the next 6 days or 6 weeks or 6 months just looking at death. Look to Christ and live. Open the blinds, let the light in, love one another, forgive from the heart, and receive the precious life of Christ as your very own. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that at the empty tomb we see your victory, and we see the victory of life over death. Lord, help us to gaze at life, to live life, and to receive the eternal life that you offer us through faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.